Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Now with us, Kevin Wooster. He's got the blog on the website, sdpb.org/Wooster. It's called On the Other Hand. He joins us every week at about this time. Kevin, welcome back.
It's good to be back. I follow erupting volcanoes. Is that sort of a subliminal message?
Do you have some sort of connection you'd like to make there?
Work myself up a little bit, maybe?
Dangerous activity, but it's all about, on the other hand, Kevin, it's nothing to panic about. That's the connection as I see it.
I got that because I went out right now and I brought my bags back from my pickup and told Mary we're staying here for now.
Well, I don't know. How's the fire? Has the fire watch out there in Rapid City? You have a more likely scenario for for having to pack the bags.
You know, speaking of that, we remain pretty dry here, but the Southern Hills got some rain, which was really essential down there, which is was kind of a tinderbox for a big explosive fire, and they got several inches down there, so that was great news for them.
Good. All right, let's talk about this week's blog because it involves chicken in a T-shirt and a little bit of history.
Yeah, the chicken wasn't great, but it was
not notable.
As I said, it was well intended, and it neither offended nor inspired. And that's really about all you can ask for in a piece of banquet chicken, especially out in the woods. And they did well to get me fit, so that was the important thing. And the T-shirt was the great part of it. Because
all right, tell us where you're at.
Well, we're up the creek, as I often am, and this happened to be Rapid Creek, and it's a church camp that's west of town on Rapid Creek in a beautiful location. It's Camp Rimrock, and it is right in the middle of Rapid Creek and the Rimrock Canyons. And it's a gorgeous location, and I think it's Presbyterian owned, but many people rent it. Is that right?
Yes.
And many people rent it, and the Republican teenagers in South Dakota have been renting it for a long time, and that was their leadership camp, and the leadership camp made a beautiful T-shirt this year, and I took one. I took a T-shirt.
Before we get to the T-shirt, let's talk about what do they do at this camp, and are you there, the essential Dakota political junkies question from yesterday, are you there during the Rattlesnake event with Dusty Johnson?
I missed the Rattlesnake. I saw that online. And which inspired me to start counting up the rattlesnakes I'd killed and realized that I was at least a U.S. Senate candidate worthy and perhaps presidential. And I would have to tell you that if I had to do over again, I think it was three or four I've probably killed in my life, I probably wouldn't have killed any but one. The others I would have just let go. But I was younger and full of hormones and happened to have guns in my hand at the time. So
I don't want to derail this conversation with the rattlesnake debate. However, I have to ask you, what's the situation where you need to dispatch the rattlesnake, and what's the situation where you'd be better off letting it go?
Well, I think the situation that Dusty Johnson found himself in was, it's pretty hard to deny that. They were in camp. The rattlesnake was in camp. It was in the evening, and it was in an area where there was lots of kids moving back and forth. And for them at that point to try and capture that snake and move it, I think would have been kind of a dangerous enterprise for a bunch of untrained snake handlers. And so Dusty got, as you probably saw on video, with an axe and dispatched it, and they celebrated perhaps a little more than they should have, but, because some people will find that offensive. And the other situation is one time I was walking down a hill hunting grouse by myself out along the Missouri River and walked right over one and spun around and just kind of automatically, it was, as I look back on it, was not really trying to get me as much as it was trying to get out of the way. And I just kind of reflexively shot it, stood there and looked at it and hyperventilated for a minute because literally I did walk right over the top of it. And as I noticed movement between my feet, my hunting boots, there was another rattlesnake between my feet.
Wow.
And he was going behind me. Apparently, as I jumped around to shoot the one snake, I landed literally on the other snake. And that snake, again, not trying to bite me. People think that these critters are out there just waiting to strike us. He was trying to get, like, they were both surprised, going, what in the world is going on? And I spun around and shot that one. And hyperventilating some more, tried to run, because I thought, I'm in the middle of a rattlesnake den. Tried to run down the whole side of the hill without ever actually touching the ground and making those yipping noises that you make when you're really afraid. And to which my friend, who was hunting about 100 yards away, was absolutely entertained by whatever I was doing.
Yeah.
And when I got down there, I thought, why didn't I just jump, do what I did without shooting the snakes?
Yeah.
And there was another time when I shot at one because I really thought my dog was going to get in it. I didn't think I could call her off of it. She had smelled it. She was working up towards it, and I just shot it rather than to take a chance of not being able to get her away from it.
All right.
So
let's talk about the T-shirt now, because I could probably get distracted with the rattlesnake conversation for a lot longer,
and
everyone will wonder.
Okay. Just so you know, the group did run into rattlesnake hiking the day I was there, and they walked around it. They had one person mark it. They were up on the trail, and so it wasn't in the camp. It wasn't posing any threat to anybody in the camp. It was across the creek high up in the Rimrock, and they had the whole group carefully walk around it and left it alone, and it left them alone. So it's
there
not like
go.
They were out there looking to kill snakes.
All right. What's on the T-shirt before people are wondering, when are we going to get to the T-shirt and why it matters?
Alice Kundert for governor, 1986. And when I saw that, I said, oh, I love that T-shirt. And a young, outgoing Republican chair, Audrey Cope, who's from here in Rapid City, walked over and handed me one. And, of course, I was faced with a dilemma, from a reporter's dilemma. Do I accept a gift from the young Republicans? And I considered that for about 3 seconds and said yes. Because I love the shirt. I loved Alice. Who didn't love Alice? And she's a great part of a really amazing year in South Dakota political history, 1986. So
all
that
right.
kind of
Some
opened up this whole discussion.
Don't know Alice, so tell me why the young Republicans love Alice.
Well, she was their matriarch. As Dusty Johnson, who had become the advisor for this young Republican group, I think for about 13 or 14 years, Alice was advisor, and that's the person that kind of guides them and helps them and organizes their events and things, including the leadership camp out here, was their advisor for 10 years. But more than that, she, out of the first 52 leadership camps, she was at 50
wow.
of them. And she would, before she died at almost 93, she was as beloved and as engaged and as well-known by young Republicans in South Dakota and the older Republicans they would become over years. As anyone in South Dakota, and as Dusty said, it when they had her in to speak, she was as well attended and as exciting to the kids as John Thune or Christina Ohm or anybody. So,
what was her mentorship? What did it mean to them? Was she, just more human? Was she more into the leadership aspect of it, the sort of ideology or the brass tacks? What was she like at that camp for the kids and how they interacted with her?
Well, first of all, she was as grounded in South Dakota and being South Dakotan as it gets, and that was beyond politics. But she was a Mound City native, and she was small town, born and bred, but understood the big cities by South Dakota standards, and she was good at what she did. She was a state legislator. She was a two-term state auditor. She was good with numbers. She was a two-term secretary of state, and ran that office as it is in with one exception, I guess, in my lifetime, as it has been run, which was. is without much political leaning in terms of doing the job. And she decided that she wanted to run for governor. And there were a lot of people that wondered if that young Republican, teenage Republican base would be enough to carry her to that office.
It was not. How come? Who was she up against?
Oh, gosh, she was up against a tough crew. As Dusty Johnson referred to George S. Mickelson as a once-in-a-generation political leader, and I think you could certainly make that argument in that primary. And then there was Lowell Hansen, who was a former Speaker of the House, who was a sitting lieutenant governor under Bill Janklin, out of Sioux Falls businessman. And there was Clint Roberts, who was the often called the Marlboro Man and West River rancher, U.S. House member, state ag secretary, state senator. I mean, this was a high-toned crew to be running against, and Alice was probably unwise to take it on, but she felt like the year was hers, that she wanted to make a statement about politics. She wanted to represent women. She was an early leader in women in politics and strong women in politics, and as I talk about in the one thing she didn't want to do is raise money. And we talk about that in there where what was it? Dusty called it. She suffered from call reluctance, where she just had trouble calling people and saying, "Give me money." And I talked to her deputy at the Secretary of State's office, Jay Vogt, who's in the Historical Society now and Pura's director, and he said there were times when people would give her a check and she'd say, "No, that's too much. I can't take that much from you." And he'd say, "Alice, for heaven's sake." You
know? That's not how you win governor race, huh?
Yeah.
Oh. But it's so how you win hearts and minds.
You know, the sad part was she probably couldn't have won, but she would have had a chance, as Dusty said, if she'd had money, more money. But the sad part is that it really affected her retirement years and the amount of money she had available for Alice Kunder. You know, she just, things were pretty tight for her, and she never complained. She wouldn't take Meals on Wheels suggested by Dusty because she was an independent woman and other people needed her help. She didn't need theirs in her mind. And it was kind of a sad end for her in many ways, although she was ready, as she said, at almost 93. She was ready for the Lord to come take her.
Go to sdpb.org/Wooster for the entire story that Kevin wrote online. It's lovely. Ends with this beautiful quote from Dusty Johnson where he says, "It's pretty remarkable that 4 years after a 92-year-old woman died, there are still teenagers at summer camps wearing T-shirts that celebrate her failed run for governor 3 decades ago. Kevin Wooster, thanks so much for writing that, and thanks for being here with us today.
My pleasure.